meeting. We'll have a call to order. Roll call.
Trustee Scott.
Here.
Trustee Tolliver.
Here.
Trustee Hill.
Here.
Trustee Samuels.
Here.
Trustee James.
Here. Verification of meeting notice.
Yes, it was posted.
Okay. We have action items. Head Start collaboration program. Someone to speak to that? If not, you have...
Good morning, sir. Good morning, board members and Dr. Watson. We have three items for the Board of Trustees to, or three grants to accept on behalf of the university. These three grants relate to the university's early childhood project that they have in collaboration with community Head Start organizations. So the first one is a $299,180 grant to actually fund that project this year. The money comes from the City of Chicago Department of Human Services under the the Reinvestment Act, or what we call a stimulus grant. So we want to ask the board to approve this grant in the amount of $299,180 for the early Head Start collaboration project.
Is there a motion to approve this grant?
I move that we approve this grant as read.
Where does this program take place?
The Chicago State has a collaboration agreement with the Department of Human Services to work with local community Head Start organization, meaning that the money comes to Chicago State, and Chicago State provides some monies to these local surrounding Head Start organization to provide daycare services in their community. And that's what this is about.
Okay.
So you're the fiscal agent.
We are the fiscal agents.
Right.
I have a question. It says that according to one of the grant proposals that starts at $79,654, this is to fund two additional community Head Start centers. Is the plan to open two more centers?
Yes. And that's the second resolution. Yes.
Okay. Maybe you could speak to all three of them so that we understand how they relate to each other,
because
I'm confused.
Very good. For the first one is basically... The $299,080 is for this year's grant to fund the entire project. And the second one is an amendment to that contract of $79,654 to add two more centers to the project. And the third is $59,639 to have... to provide funds for family service workers, class, and literary supplies. So the $59,000 is to provide funds for family service workers staff and classroom literary supplies. That's for the last one.
Okay, so if I interpret this, the first one is continuation of whatever it is we've been doing.
Yes, sir.
The second one is to add on to it, and the third one is to have people and supplies so we can...
Correct, yes.
Okay. Is this project 100% funded by grants from
The City of Chicago, yes.
Okay.
All right. Mm-hmm. And I second.
I have another question. How does this relate to the child care services we provide on campus?
Well, it's an extension, or it would be an extension of that. As a university, we are obligated to provide services to the neighborhood. So it is an extension to the services that we would provide here at Chicago State.
Okay, so it eases some of the burden off of the local?
Correctly.
Right, this money could not be applied to that?
No.
No.
This is money designed to go to those other centers outside.
Okay. Mm.
There needs to be a point of clarity.
Yes, sir.
Madam Provost, will you provide some clarity with regards to child care center on campus?
First of all, good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, as you know, the child care center temporarily closed in December 2009. As a part of that collaboration, when the initial grant was approved, it was approved for three entities. The first entity being our childcare center that was located on Greenwood. The other two pieces of that are directly related to the proposals or the resolutions that are in front of you. When the grant was initially approved, it also came with, we would make certain that we would establish partnerships within our communities to reach out to the other childcare centers. As a result, when our childcare center closed temporarily, we were able to funnel those children, the parents, along with the children, to our partnering childcare centers. And that's why the city has agreed to continue the funding, because it's our partnering childcare centers that they have really truly supported under Chicago State University. They recognize, Dr. Watson and I, along with other administrators, we've met with the staff, with the city of Chicago, with the understanding that our child care center is only temporarily closed, and when it reopens, we will go back or resume our rightful place, which is we will continue to collaborate with our partnering child care centers, but also we will be one of the partnering sites. Does that help clarify? Okay.
And thank what you. Is the estimated date of
your January 2011 or spring term 2011 for child care center to move back to campus? That's the date, and it will be under the supervision of the College of Education Early Childhood Education Program.
And that is, we are waiting for dollars from the state. Dollars have been appropriated, but they have not been funded and transferred yet to that project. We have made that request. Irma, is that statement accurate?
That's correct, but the governor has to sign it. And my guess is that he probably won't sign it until over the summer.
And our goal is to tie our child care center to our academic programs. That is going to be a major bridge and a major step for the university.
I agree. That's wonderful.
Any further questions?
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
Trustee Tolliver?
Yes.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee Samuels?
Yes.
Trustee James?
Yes.
Okay. I would move approval of the, can we do the other two together?
Yeah. We need to.
Yes.
I would move approval of the other two resolutions.
A second.
Respected Head Start.
As written.
As presented.
Any discussion on the other two? If not, we're ready for a vote.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
Trustee Tolliver?
Yes.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee Samuels?
Yes.
Trustee James?
Yes.
Thank you. Item number five, Mr. Meeks. Update on the university's financial position.
Good morning, I'm Glenn Meeks, Vice President for Administration and Finance. With me this morning, I have our Acting Director of Budgets. I have her introduce herself. And we also have our chief accountant who serves as a treasury function for our cash position.
You can sit down, that's why that mic is there.
Oh, what I would like to do, because I wanted to go and point out some items here, and I'd like to stand if that's okay.
All right.
Can you tell me, again, tell me who you have with you?
Oh.
Hi, good morning. I'm Ari Fadwar, and I'm the acting budget director.
We submitted to you earlier copies of our cash position and also of the of our FY11 budget. What you see here now projected and we passed out this morning was an update. Our cash position is updating almost daily. And what you have right now is an update as of yesterday. And one of the things that we've done is that there have been a series of events over the last few weeks that have changed our cash position. I would say quite favorably since the last time we met. What I'm about to show you now is an analysis that we do of our cash. The document that you see here that's on the screen and that you have before you is in 2-week intervals that stretch out to the end of the fiscal year, to the end of June. So we're going to look at our cash position as we project it out from now to the end of June. Over in the left, basically, this is the cash balance of all of our bank accounts. We have two minority banks, Seaway and Highland Bank. Highland Bank is not shown here. That was one that was approved relatively recently. We're negotiating right now to move monies into that account as we speak today. And so the total cash that we have is about $13 million. If you'll scroll down, we have some pending disbursements, some vendor disbursements, and also students' disbursements, which are indicated here. So then we have a net cash of about $12.5. If you move on down here, you'll see there's some other obligations to this cash that we have that are outstanding. If you look at line 19 all the way down to line 24, which is, these basically show the obligations that are currently outstanding that we have against that. This is cash money that we've received. There's some items from CDB, from the Capital Development Board. There's some other pending litigations that we're holding as well. If you net that out against the cash that we have available, we're looking at about $7.8 million that we have. This cash that we have right now is a far better picture than the picture that I showed you that we talked about almost a month ago. One of the reasons why our cash has improved so much is because since the last time we met, we've received reimbursements for our payrolls. We received two of about $4 million in March. Also in March, we received our federal stimulus dollars, which is the IRA money, which is another $3.5 million. And then the Illinois Students Assistance Commission refunded us for state student awards, in the tune of $4.6 million. And so we received all of that in March. So part of that could be attributed to some of the lobbying meeting we did when we went down to Springfield, some of the calls that were made. But in any event, we received this influx of cash in the month of March.
Tell me how your payroll is funded. You advance the payroll monies and then you're reimbursed by the state?
No, the payrolls are basically funded. We spend the money and then we turn around and we send a bill to the state to reimburse us for that portion of the payroll dollars that were paid on general revenue funds.
So are we always looking for reimbursement each payroll?
Yes, we are. Okay. Yes, we are. Until we run out of general revenue dollars. Once we run out of general revenue dollars, then we switch the funding source to the local income fund. And that's the money that we get from tuition and fees. Mm-hmm. Then we're funding it ourselves from tuition and fees.
And how many, you said we've received two payrolls, but we were several payrolls behind, as I recall. How many payrolls?
How many? As you can see here, this next section here shows projected receivables for the payrolls that are still outstanding.
How many is it? And what's the balance?
Seven payrolls?
We got seven payrolls, and we $11.3 million. In addition to that, we also have some non-payroll items that were paid on general revenue that we're expecting, and that's about $2 million. So if you add that $13 million plus that, it's a total of $13.3 million that we're still looking for to be reimbursed from the state.
And so I'm assuming that we've applied for reimbursement to the state, we just haven't received it?
Exactly. For these, over here to this section to the right that you see on your spreadsheet here, this is an analysis of when we expect to receive those reimbursements from the state.
Is that based on
historical trends.
So, but the reality is, do you have an expectation that you're going to receive those reimbursements at that time? Have you heard anything from the state about the timing of the reimbursement?
As of this date, no, I have not.
How late were the two reimbursements that we got, that we received this in March?
Well, one of the reimbursements here we expected in April, on April 15th, and we actually received it at the end of March.
Okay.
So.
You said there were two.
There were two, and the other one we received probably in the middle of March.
And how late was that, or was that on time?
That was expected, and they just, and they paid it on time. And this one, they paid early.
Okay.
But the others, again, we're projecting out as to when, and then again, this is in two-week intervals. And if you scroll back all the way over to the left again, and as we go down this column, continue to go down, these are our projected receivables and collections. And 20.7 million is what we're projecting to receive. You continue to go down. Projected expenditures, these are the payrolls that are still outstanding. Line 47, C1, 15.3, the payrolls that we still expect to spend. Now, all of that will not be reimbursed from the state because the general revenue funds are going to end. They're going to run out eventually. And then the rest of this will be funded from income fund dollars. Here's a debt service, vendor payments that we expect to pay. Also, student disbursements, total disbursements or expenditures, 27, leaving us with a net cash of 5.5. Now, if we scroll all the way back up to the top, good. And as we for 415, by the end of 415, if you go all the way down to the bottom, I'm sorry, we expect to receive in the bank, our cash projection is about 5.2 million. And if you scroll all the way over to the right, we look at our projected cash position at the end of June to be 2.3 million. Now, that's a much better picture than the one I painted for you before. The reason for this has to do with a lot of things that we've been doing at the university to sort of cut back and to improve our cash position. Some of the things that we've done since this has happened, if you scroll down to the bottom, and you'll see here the remarks. The previous balance that we reported was $374,000. There's increase in collection. Our collection efforts have improved, so we came up with an additional $187. One of the things that we said we were going to do is to look at our extra help positions, and we had a hard stop on the extra help positions, and we're projecting that by the end of June, we will save $875,000 as a result of that effort. This decrease in payroll expenses, civil service, this has to do with the right-sizing exercise we just went through just last week. We expect to save $250,000 between now and the end of the fiscal year. The $500,000 that's reported there is the fourth quarter restriction that we placed on the budget that we did not load, so we expect to save those dollars. And last but not least, we also have a restriction that we curtail travel. We expect to save approximately $150,000. Net effect, $233,000. I mean, this looks good. However, we're not out of the woods because, trustee, as you've indicated, you scroll back up, you'll look at what we project to receive from the state. It is imperative, it is important that we still continue to receive these reimbursements from the state from now to the end of the fiscal year in order to be in that positive cash position that we see now.
So if they were delayed, for example, if the next two payments were delayed, we would be out of money.
Mm-hmm. That is correct. And if you look at, let's say if these two didn't come in, if you scroll down to the end of to May 15th, that's approximately $4 million. Yeah. Net that out against that?
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Our projected net cash will be affected. That is correct. So we will continue our efforts in monitoring our cash, lobbying with the state, calling up our legislators, calling the comptroller's office to ensure that we continue to receive our reimbursements. So, from your perspective, I guess I'm asking that we need all the help we can get.
Mm-hmm. But my concern is that there are a lot of people with their hands, out to the state right now, and fortunately for us, we did receive some monies in the last month. Is there a possibility that some of this money won't come in?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Have we put together a scenario that would respond to the failure of the state to give us one or two of these reimbursements? Have we run some numbers on that?
If We have. We've looked at scenarios, and the unfortunate thing is that it would be very, very disastrous for us if they didn't do that, because then we're going to have to look at maybe some additional right-sizing that we've already done, cutting out certain programs, certain expenditures, paying vendors late, because in here, as you can see, we're projecting vendor payments. Which line is the vendor payments? Vendor payments are on those expenditures are C3. We're projecting, these are our vendor payments that we're projecting. So we're projecting this approximately $7.7 million. We may have to hold back on vendor payments if that becomes necessary, and a number of other things in order to cut costs. So that's a decision that we'll make at the administrative level. If they start withholding reimbursements and we don't get the money, they will be forced to take other drastic means in order to payroll and meet the other obligations that we have, some of the other obligations.
Here's one thing I disagree with, because I think that if it does come to a point where, you know, we as a board, we can't nickel and dime and say, you know, take $5 here, put it there. But if we are really fail to receive $2-4 million from the state, you know, that's something that does become a board matter, something that we ought to consider. Terms of where we go from here.
So you're talking about where the board should approve whatever decision is made at that point, because
right.
of the,
oh,
the
right. Because oh, I think it becomes material. It's not just, you know, $5 instead of $5 to Walgreens, we pay $5 to Jewel. It becomes significant.
Okay.
And so I think that if, you know, we can rely on you to. If in the coming months, if you see a pattern that puts us in peril, that you'll let us know.
Oh yes, for sure. I mean, this is, as you see here, we've got this every 2 weeks. We're monitoring this. We're looking at this daily.
Mm-hmm.
Our cash position is very important.
Yeah.
You know, as you all know, mm-hmm. that's how we operate.
Trustee Scott.
Right.
The concern is that. We are there now. There are no promises. We have heard from the state, and there is a concern. We literally wait for each check that's in the mail, and there are no guarantees. So, you know, we're taking a number of students, faculty, and administrators down to Springfield. Trustee James, when is that, the date of that?
Yeah.
What?
22nd of April.
The 22nd of April, where we are going to be talking to our legislators, the governor's office, and et cetera, you know, trying to impress upon them that we have a very thin layer. We're not like a number of our sister institutions who also have not gotten, and let us be clear, a number of our sister institutions have also not gotten their dollars, but they have a much thicker fund balance, more deep pockets in terms of their fund balance that they could rely and pull on in order to meet their payroll if they had to.
Here's what I think. I actually think that, you know, while we have to wait, I also think we ought to have the plan in place in case there ought to be something scripted on that says, here's where we go if we find ourselves in X, Y, or Z position. I just don't think we can just every 2 weeks look at the bank account and hope it's there.
Sure.
We shouldn't be that I don't know, I don't think we should be that reliant on the state to come through.
We are in 100% agreement with you. That's where we're looking at the possible non-payment of vendors. Our challenge is right now that we only have 3 months left to this fiscal year. Mm-hmm. And it would be draconian if we did something to try and make up $2 million in just 3 months, other than not paying our vendors.
Yeah. Can I echo on something that the president is saying here? We actually have been, I have had discussions with the provost, because if you go to the next, we go to our long-term projection, this is only till the end of June. Our problem doesn't go away at the end of June, even if they did pay us all the dollars that we're expecting. Our cash position, this is a projection, that the loan spreadsheet that you have is a projection for next year, what we're projecting our cash position to be. And if you look here, this is basically the same kind of spreadsheet, you know, before with not as much detail. But if you look at the month of October, we begin to run into problems in our cash position. So on a long-term basis, on a longer term basis, looking at the cash, one of the things that we're looking at that, you know, quite frankly, you're saying, what are some of the things that we're looking at? Well, these are cost-cutting measures that we're talking about here right now. But there are other measures that we're talking about in trying to bring in additional revenues into the university as well. We're not just looking at
unrestricted dollars?
I'm sorry.
Unrestricted dollars?
Yes, primarily it will be unrestricted dollars to improve our cash position. You know, we're looking at ways of, you know, we're talking about, and some are in the academic realm, where we're looking at partnering with other businesses and other institutions in order to bring in additional dollars for the aqua findings, is one that was mentioned. I had a discussion with the dean of the College of Business concerning another profitable venture with, and I think I'm speaking too out of turn by mentioning this, with teaching outside of the country and bringing in additional dollars that way.
But all of those,
I'm sorry.
But even with all of those, you know, Trustee Scott, those are still relatively short term. In order for us to build up the kind of revenue to balance the budget of the university, it's going to take about 2 years to build up some long-term streams to where we're talking about an additional millions of dollars that are coming in. We're right now trying to manage short-term because we have a short framework, and that is the challenge.
But if the if Mr. Meeks has pointed out, you know, we're still going to be in a significantly weakened position in the fall, even in the new fiscal year. You know, when would you present us with a strategy to address that?
Well, that's
we're working on the strategy as we speak. As I mentioned, we've had conversations with provosts in terms of, you know, we're looking at faculty. Got to look at faculty, the queues. We're looking at some of the overrides that we're paying on a yearly basis, which are in the millions of dollars. There's a number of things that we're beginning as we look forward to into the future. Those are some of the things that we're looking at.
With no sacred cows.
I'm sorry?
With no sacred cows.
With no sacred cows. No sacred cows.
And keeping in mind our mission. Our mission is to teach. So, you know, when we start making, if we ever reach that type of a crisis, we have to protect our mission.
Right.
And that's the core. And we cut, you know, from outside in with the mission being the core.
So when will that plan, the one that we're talking about now, be available?
We're working on that plan as we talk. It took us quite a bit of time to get to where we are now, mm-hmm. based upon some activity we've been involved in for the last 3 or 4 months. Mm-hmm. We now have gotten past Tuesday, and we've gotten past Wednesday. Those are two major activities, and that took all hands on deck to get past the accreditation and get past the right sizing. Now we can focus our attention on that, Matt.
Okay.
Trustee.
So, any other questions on the cash position? Because now I'd like to move and show you some budget scenarios for next fiscal year.
Okay. I would just say,
yes, sir.
I wouldn't want us to leave with the impression that there are no sacred cows. The president did mention we have to be true to our core mission, but you also have to honor contractual obligations from grants.
Yes.
Right.
So true.
Right.
Yes,
very true.
Understood. Mm-hmm. So noted. All right. The second document you have basically takes a look at our budget scenario. For the layperson, you know, out there, because I know that the board is pretty astute at this, you know, there's two positions that we look at financially. We look at our cash position, which we just talked about, then we have to look at the budget. We can balance a budget and still be cash poor, not be able to meet certain obligations because we have very little cash, even though we look okay budget-wise. So let's take a look at the budget. This FY10 column here just simply shows our current budget situation. This is our appropriated budget, $73.7 million. This is what we're currently operating out of right now. That was approved by the state. We received the funding. The $38.6 million is from the General Revenue Fund. We received federal stimulus dollars this year, approximately $3.5 million. Total appropriated dollars from the state, $42 million. This $614,000 represents a special funding from the state to support our pharmacy program. So total appropriated funds that we received from the state, 42. This $31 million here represents the University Income Fund. That's money from tuition and fees that we're currently operating on. So total appropriated funds that we're working with, $73.7 million. Looking at the second column here, FY2011, about a year ago, this board approved our funding request. Our funding requests are in all of these areas here. Note here that our funding request for the General Revenue Fund jumped up to $48 million. That was because we knew that the IRA, or the federal stimulus dollars, were going to be taken away from us, and so we padded the budget, not padded the budget, but we increased our budget to reflect that we were going to lose that IRA money. So that was the 48. We projected at that time that our appropriated funds, that our University Income Fund would be $35.7 million. That was the projection at that time. And that was based on increased enrollment, we included approximately, because at that time we guessed, we were estimating about a 5% increase in tuition. Tuition, as you know, we increased by 8% for the fall. And also our projected numbers for the number of students increased by 12%. So therefore, you'll see in this first scenario here that our University Income Fund is really reflected at $35,899, slight increase over what we projected earlier. This funding request was something that was submitted to the Illinois Board of Higher Education that we've been working on. Then the governor comes back and he says, okay, I'm going to support a 6.2 reduction for general revenue funds for us. And so the governor is proposing this. This is what the governor is proposing. That $39.4 million, or roughly $39.5 million in general revenue funds, what he's also recommending is a cut in half of our special appropriations to $307,000 to support our pharmacy program. Total 39.7 is what the governor is proposing. And there is that $35,899 is what we're proposing that our income fund is going to be, based on increase in tuition of 8% and a 12% increase in enrollment. And then we have these other scenarios, because again, that's just a proposal by the governor, that 6.2%. We don't know whether or not that will pass. We've heard different amounts of what to look for. So what we've done is we created different scenarios to see how we will address each one. Scenario one is a 6.2 from the governor. Scenario two shows a 10% reduction in the general revenue fund. And then three is 15% reduction. Scenario four shows a 20% reduction in funding from general revenue dollars. If you go down to the next section, what we've done here, this basically just shows what those reductions actually add up to for the general revenue fund. And the next section that we're showing here is projected 2011 budget shortfalls. This is what we're anticipating our shortfall to be. There are certain obligations that we know that exist. Whether we're funded or not, we still have to be, we will still be faced with. One is the governor's proposal that we're going to lose our IRA money. And so we need to look at that as a shortfall. This 1.7 represents union contracts, salary increases that we're expecting, and I know that some of the contracts are currently under negotiations, but this is what we're proposing, or that what we're projecting would be our outstanding obligation. And this $2 million represents here, it has to do with athletics. We know that there was a special approval to increase the funding from athletics to 1.5% of appropriated dollars to 1 to 4% of appropriated dollars. And I know there's a sunset on that. But however, if we're faced with that again, and we're just looking at this just as a possibility, then we're looking at trying to fund it again, if it happens again, somewhere in the neighborhood of $2 million. So we're looking at a shortfall based on the first scenario of $6.6 million. How we address that is shown in the next section. The right-sizing efforts that we just went through, finished last week, is going to yield to us approximately $2.4 million in savings because of that. This basically represents salary dollars, administrators, as well as civil service individuals' vacancies. We also have an increase in our income fund from the prior year of approximately, well, in this case, 4.2 of the total of 4.8 increase in tuition dollars that we're looking at, and that could fund the deficit if we ended up in scenario one. That will fund the deficit.
Where's that increase come from?
Which increase?
The increase in university income fund.
Oh, if you go back up to the top, that's the difference between what we projected, what was in FY10, our current income fund of $31 million.
Oh, I see.
Versus
okay.
The projection of 35.899.
Okay.
899. That's the difference.
Okay, got it.
Okay. Likewise, if there's a 10% reduction, looking at the proposed budgetary actions that we can take, that's the amount of the shortfall based on a 10% reduction in GRF. How we address that, again, we'll take all of the right-sizing dollars of 2.4, then we'll look at the total increase in the income fund, and also we'll go here to the vacancy funds. If we go to this route, and we're starting to use vacancy dollars to fill some of the shortfalls, these are dollars that are set aside for positions that we haven't filled that are also budgeted. That means that affected here are some of the pool dollars that we have for the deans, their vacancy pool dollars, and basically they use those dollars to fund faculty positions, adjuncts.
Have we done any studies as to how this would impact class sizes? For those departments that have heavy, let's say arts and sciences takes up 60% of that, you know, have we done any data to figure out what that would impact class sizes for arts and sciences?
We have had some discussions concerning that. That's part of the sort of long-term strategy as we look forward, because we have looked at those to see what kind of an impact, if we went this route, would it have. We looked at the scenario that at one point even summer school would be affected, because some of those dollars that we're looking at here go to fund positions and salaries here in the summer.
The other scenario is not so much affecting class sizes that are already full. The other scenario is which we have to protect, and that is to make sure that we offer the classes that students are needed to graduate. You know, in other words, classes that are low enrolled, you know, we need to figure out how we keep them so that students can graduate. All right, I'm not worried about the general education classes. Those are going to be full. I'm worried about a student who's a senior or junior being able to get a class. So, you know, that the upper level class, that class in their major at the upper level, so that they can graduate. And we have to make sure that when we start to cut, that we don't cut our own corn seed there.
So the plan is to, for those classes that are like core classes, prerequisite classes, those classes, your plan is to allow for those classes to be a little full, but making sure that you have enough faculty positions to support the, let's say, 400-level courses?
We're going to look at all of it.
Oh, you're going to look at all
of it? Yep. Everything's going to be looked at.
Yes.
We must look at everything. Everything's on the table.
Is there a possibility that you can collaborate with other urban centers to combine your class offerings?
That is what we're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
We're using our media program as an example. We're looking at the possibility of doing some things with with Kennedy King College, mm-hmm. Where it would do exactly what you're saying.
And for those 400 level courses, I mean, there, I mean, it, can you, you think you could collaborate with some of the other public universities in the city? Like, I think there's okay. one north, and there's here. I mean, there are at least two others. Mm-hmm.
That one has not been looked at yet, mm-hmm. but I know that there has been instances in the past when if we weren't offering a class, we would recommend that someone take a class. Right. Right.
Right. But I'm just saying, but you, if you could open the door for those students.
We may have to look at that policy that will allow us, because typically the last 30 hours we do not accept transfer credit.
Yeah.
But that is something we may have to look at again.
I mean, rather than have two people sit in the class right. for exactly. a year, see, they could go right. sit someplace
and
else.
And do it strategically and so that mm-hmm. it's, you plan for that right. as opposed right. to just having students have to go out and find it themselves.
And what you're saying, Trustee Scott, the paradigm has changed. Mm-hmm. And we have got to be prepared.
To do more with less.
To do more with less. And, but we then also have to get our other partner universities to be willing to do the same type of collaborative sharing. Mm-hmm. So yes, we must take a look at that. We must look at all policies to see, are the policies of 1990 applicable for the policies of the second decade of the 21st century.
Okay. And the scenarios here in 3 and 4 are just in terms of if there's a 15% cut and a 20% cut, then we'll move to these other areas to try to address the shortfalls, these awards that we have. And again, you know, the and you know, we've got down here other cost cutting measures. And again, everything's on the table. We're looking at everything, but our goal again is to ensure that, you know, we are a teaching institution, so the students aren't our primary concern in adjusting or looking at any of the cost cutting. So this is the proposed budget and the various scenarios that we've set forth in addressing some of the shortfalls. Any questions? Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Very helpful.
Thank you.
Going to propose that rather than go into executive session, recess into executive session, item 6, that we consider item 8 now so that we don't keep people waiting. Other matters, which are public and employee comments. Anyone has any?
I would just like to, one thing is that I'd like us to seriously consider scheduling future meetings where we hear the options and proposals that come from staff so that we can actually, I think it's our responsibility as a board to establish priorities, and I think we ought to be able to review that in some way and work with staff to make sure that the budget is meeting our mission.
Well, I think it's up to the staff to bring us proposals. It's not up to us to micromanage and be involved in the development of ideas in their embryonic stages. Are there any public and employee comments? If so, we'll entertain them now. Not entertain a motion to recess into executive session pursuant to the Illinois Open Meetings Act.
So move that we go into executive session to discuss employment matters, legal matters, and collective bargaining matters.
Second.
I would like for...
I second.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
Trustee Tolliver?
Yes.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee Samuels?
Yes.
Trustee James?
Yes. Did you say Finney?